Yeah.
F***ing outrageous. They haven't heard anything.
Wait, we
yet.
Haven't started yet.
I know.
This party's a bore. Accompany me to the laboratory and I'll show you my latest creation.
That would be lovely.
Igor, how's the monster coming along?
The storm approaches, Master. It's time!
Excellent.
Main power to maximum. Biogenic generator engaged. Raise the monster!
Yes!
It's time for the
Jingle Show.
Well, representing two in 1 week now.
That's it.
That's right.
Today is crazy.
Third.
Well, it's first this month.
Right.
August 3rd. Today is August 3rd, Thursday.
Yeah.
And so let's
raise the monster.
Raise the monster. That's right. Good crowd. You're going to get Jack Rhodes.
Jack Rhodes.
We might have a little Jack attack before the show's
Jack
over.
Attack.
Jack's got some stuff he wants to say. And we got our erstwhile barrister, Eric.
We're go flight.
And a poltergeist in the studio. Poltergeist. If you hear something in the background.
It's a little warmer in that part of the
That's right. It's a little warmer. That's right. Now, we got a bunch of things to talk about today. We do want to answer the questions. We actually got questions.
What?
Yeah,
absolutely.
We had a listener. Actually, we had dose listeners.
Wow.
Two
brave souls that actually wrote in with questions, which one of them I forgot that we'd asked. I posted a rather extensive answer to Dave. It was Dave, right?
Yeah.
Dave's question. I posted it in the Jimmy Jabber portion
of the blog.
We can see it there, too, but we're going to answer it tonight.
We're going to answer it anyway, right? And then our friend Houston.
Yep.
Houston, not from Houston.
Reliable Houston.
He sent us a couple of questions. He claims that they were to alienate listeners. How can that be? It must be alienate him.
Right. Unless he stops listening.
Right. We're home free.
We need more people like Houston, dude.
That's right. I mean, I'm figuring it out. You know, if we lose Houston, we lost. He said he might lose half. So that means Houston's either going to listen with one ear or only listen to half the show. I don't know.
What you're saying here is we need more responses.
Yeah, more responses. That's right.
We appreciate the listeners.
Now, wait a minute. What was the courtesy? Tell me. Wait, before we get started, let me just go through the list here. Castro, big deal with Castro, right? Hurricane. Are we going to get blown away down here?
Oh, yeah.
Global warming.
Yeah.
Evolution in Kansas.
Mm-hmm.
Fighting the Hez.
Mm-hmm.
Hez.
Minimum wage.
Mm-hmm.
There's some new stuff there. And churches ruining a town.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
how
about
dare
it.
They?
Churches. How dare they? Yeah, no.
Hey, and we got some new listeners this week. Or I want to say hi to some listeners from Columbus, Ohio.
We had some burners too, didn't we?
Yeah, we got people from Greve Strand, Denmark, and Chesterfield, England.
All right.
You dare say. Sydney, Australia.
Have a cup of tea. I say, Australia.
Eddie Foster's for us.
We love our listeners down under. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Irvine, California, we got.
All right. Okay.
Somebody out west. Raleigh, North Carolina. And Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Well, we had some other foreigners, though, I think.
Yes, we had Bangkok, Thailand.
Bangkok.
Hey,
that must have been one of those escort sites that I went on. Bangkok escorts. I think that was.
We tried to find you, Jimmy Dillon.
That's right.
You owe $200.
$200 for 1 week.
Hey, it's world famous Jimmy Dillon over here.
That's right. So anyway, that's about it. Yeah, that's right. And whatever else comes up. We have a couple of light notes.
Yeah, a couple of light notes.
I do have a couple of light notes. So we'll do that. It might be not that long a show today, so as far as the fat burn is concerned, we'll try and keep it short, okay?
All right.
All righty.
Woohoo!
All right.
Moving on. Okay, first thing
Castro.
Is... This is a random order. Castro. Castro dead. No, Castro...
You heard it here first.
Yeah,
week-long surgery.
Week-long surgery, right.
They may not announce it for several more years, but trust me.
Yeah, right. they're going to embalm him, you know, and show him up there. Well, you
It'd
know,
be like Lennon.
So, look, hey, exactly. What's so funny about this, in a way, there's so many things on so many levels. This is interesting and hysterical. The United States, of course, we had the Monroe Doctrine since Monroe. and that's been like 200 years, okay? We have meddled in every country in the Western Hemisphere and never once got it right. So not to profit from past experience, the Congress of the United States has decided to vote up $80 million of our taxpayer dollars to do something with Cuba. Now, understand, for 47 years, it has been a SWAT team shooting a fence for us to go visit Cuba. If you wanted to go.
Can't even go to the beaches.
No, nothing, zero.
Nothing.
No, fact, they're all upset around here in Florida because they wrote an editorial here recently that state funds are not allowed to be used for travel to Cuba. So, of course, we have, as anybody knows, not so much up here, we have in Gainesville, but several of the universities here in Florida, what are there, seven major universities, I guess, in Florida, we have quite a large Cuban population, and we have professors. Of course, after 47 years, we have people that were born here that are Cuban. And so, and they're professors now, and they can't go visit, at least not on taxpayer dollars.
So they can't go to Cuba.
They have their own money, they can't go. They have to go to Canada or to Bermuda or someplace like
first,
that.
First, and then go.
And then, if they get caught. And, of course, Lord save you if you bring back a cigar. I mean, bring back cocaine first. What you do is, if you want to bring
the
back...
Dogs don't sniff cigars.
No, that's right. If you want to smuggle cigars in here, you pack it in cocaine. And that way it might get through.
I mean, great. Now you tell me.
Yeah, exactly. He loved it. Was that one about the stogie? He had the stogie from 1,000 years ago or something with the vendor, the Futurama one?
Yeah, well, it was a mummy. It was a beef jerky from 1,000 years ago.
Whatever.
I forget. I don't know.
The point is that we've 47 years, we've had this embargo to show. We're showing Castro what it's all about. Boy, I'll tell you, the United States, who has enough nuclear weapons to, well, let me put it this way. A half of, if a missile fell over on Cuba, it would wipe it out, one of our, forget the rest of it. And we can't, you know, and so we had this embargo for 47 years, and you see what's happened. And now the only way that this embargo might get lifted is if the guy dies. And they're going to, you know, I'm thinking, boy, these guys.
So the federal government is actually going to fund, it looks like from that article, that they're actually going to fund a revolution, so to speak.
I don't know,
if you want a gun, come get it from us. Or
they would pay millions of dollars to dissidents who fight for democratic change. So they're going to find some way. You can bet this is going to work out, right? Find some way to pump $80 million secret, you know, in a suitcase, right? Come down there. Hi, are you a dissident? Yes, here's your money. I'm not, you know, and then. But then the other thing is, I'm looking at this article. This is from the Associated Press, and it says the remarks underscored scanty. This is amazing to me. Scanty intelligence the U.S. has of an old foe that lies just 90 miles off the Florida shore. Now, listen, think about it for a second. This is not Saudi Arabia where they speak, you know, like really a foreign language. We're talking about there's like, I don't know, 20 million people, 30 million people in this country that speak Spanish. There's got to be 5 million that speak Cuban Spanish. And we can't.
A lot of them here in South Florida.
90 miles away, and we don't know what's going on down there. No clue. No idea. Not only that, when you think about it, every other country on the planet can go to Cuba. Fine, no problem. You're a tourist there. Tourist your brains out. Nope. You're from Canada. You're from Bahamas, Mexico.
James Bond,
right. Well, he's English. You see, he's a Brit.
I think the Cubans even like the French, don't they?
Yes, exactly right. They do. And, of course, you know, especially if you're Argentina, or something like that. So it's not like nobody can go. It's not like it's like open border in Cuba. You can go there. You can look like.
Just we can't go
but
there.
But I mean, my point is, they say in scanty intelligence. I wanted to ask you, what does this tell you about our CIA? I mean, if you can't get intelligence on Cuba, duh, on the rest of the world is what I got to say.
We have telescopes that can see the Cuba.
Read their license plates.
We are talking
about telescopes that can read their lips, for God's sake, you know, when they talk.
I think almost from Key West, you can, if you look.
No question. It's unbelievable. What do you think about it for a second? There are, if you go down to South Florida, it's easy to pick up Cuban radio stations. I mean, it's a snap. I mean, you can, you know, just listen to them all day long. But it's just phenomenal to me to hear this, to see this article that, geez, I don't know, 47 years, yeah, we don't know what's going on down there, 90 miles away. You know, give me a break. And it's not like they wouldn't, the people that have floated over here in a cardboard, here, all the intelligence, you think about it. We could get intelligence from those people that are floating over here in an inner tube. No, we don't do that. Blast that inner tube out of the water, sink them, kill them. You know, and that's right. I mean, think about it. Aliens, you know, uncle, not uncle, but his parents died, drowned coming over here. And one of them died, but didn't a bunch of them on that particular...
Yeah. Other relatives and stuff.
Other relatives died. So, and of course, what we did was to, you know, warm up the old M16s or whatever it was in SWAT team and send him back. So, you know, maybe he's an undercover agent.
Hey, so what do you think? Exodus either way?
Well, that's the other thing. Of course, Bill Nelson, you know, Bill Nelson, who went into space and should have stayed there. Because
he did stay there, I think.
Yeah, that's right. He thinks probably was infected by something. Oh, that's going to bring up something else about the virus. At any rate, yeah, he says, they come out with these pronouncements. We shouldn't expect flotillas to go either.
It's going
to
be an open door policy, you're saying?
Let me tell you, what's astounding to me is that it's not an open door policy from Mexico. It's certainly going to be one from Cuba, I wouldn't think. Although we've got some pretty rich Cubans down there in Miami that might sway they'll tell George Bush, we ain't going to vote for you unless that would work.
So when's the last time anybody saw Castro alive here? I mean, anybody vouching?
I think
three days or something like that.
Yeah,
went in for surgery, signed over his
powers to
his brother.
Yeah,
was it his brother? Yeah.
Raul.
It'll be pretty
and
obvious.
No one's seen his Raul in South France now or what?
No, he's there. And Raul was the leader of the military. And
yeah, they said that nothing. If Raul takes over, it might even get a little tighter.
Tighter? You mean I heard it would turn into a kind of
dictatorship with Raul.
Oh, I read it was just the opposite.
Nobody knows. Right. I read here's the article.
Right.
Nobody knows.
Yeah,
that's the whole point.
Right.
No clue.
Well, man, I hope we get to vacation down there.
They got
some nice beaches and
they have a thriving.
You know, and it's so close to you. So close to us, we could just jump right over there, man.
Oh,
I mean,
if they would do it, I mean, you could
probably jet ski across.
It's worth going down there just for the food. Right?
The Cuban sandwich. We get them here, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah, they got
a traditional
coffee.
Coffee. They got all that stuff. No, but my thing is that nobody knows. The bottom line is nobody knows anything. And if we sit there and spend $80 million trying to fix, it's going to screw it up as usual. I don't know why they just don't, as I say, back slowly away and say, step away from the island slowly and see what, because we have never failed to screw that island up from Teddy Roosevelt. Well, even from before. I mean, that was the Spanish-American War when we got it, and it's never been right since. So it's a disaster. I had something else I was going to – some other salient point. Oh, have you noticed the only other thing that I wanted to mention about Castro was who's his tailor? I mean, have you noticed he has
– his guayaberas?
I mean, what is with that? I mean, for 50 years he's been in the same clothes. I mean,
he doesn't have a lot of money.
He likes the pockets. Right.
But I mean, well, maybe, but I think when you look at his closet,
it makes him look official dad.
I guess.
He's traditional clothing.
I always, when you see him standing these with the school children or whatever, and everybody else is dressed in, you know, from their clothes from the 50s that are starting to wear out, and then he's there in his green fatigues,
camo, right?
Camo, right? Right. You know, in case somebody wants to shoot him, like he doesn't stand out, right? He's only like 6'4",
right?
Big beard, stogie in his mouth.
You know, Einstein only had like six different suits that he wore. But they're exactly the same, so he didn't have to make that big decision every day when he got up.
Yeah, no, I understand that. I understand that. But Einstein, look, he had something else going for him.
Well, he had other things on his mind, and then what to wear.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe Castro's got the same problem.
I guess maybe at his age, you know, a little Alzheimer's setting in. I don't know. Anyway, so we'll be keeping an eye on this one to see. I guess actually, the only thing that I worry about is that they're going to pump up the old or drag out the Monroe Doctrine again and decide that somebody in Congress can fix Cuba.
No substantial economic benefits or detriments one way or the other.
Nope.
Okay.
And again, I could have done it 46 years ago, but no. I mean, I think about it. If this guy was, I hate to think what would happen if they like froze him or something, and you know, said, well, we can bring him back anytime. I wonder if the embargo would stay in effect for like 200 years.
Cryogenic Castro.
Well, what I'm saying is they could threaten to thaw him out.
Right. Like in Futurama, Castro's head.
That's right. Right, exactly. You're right, exactly. Hey, I haven't seen Castro's head on Futurama. We need to write them.
He might have been on, I don't know.
They had the museum there. You saw them.
Yeah,
they had,
yeah.
You know, maybe a couple hundred of them in there.
I love it, Jonathan Frakes. Front row!
Yes. Yeah, he was so happy when they said. So anyway, that's the deal on. We'll keep you posted on that because it's close by here, and we don't. He doesn't have any Katusha missiles or any Katusha rockets or anything, does he? So
not that we know of.
Not that we know of. Can they reach Key West anyway? They're not 90 miles, are they? Katushas? No, they're only a couple of miles. 10 miles, 15 miles.
They're varying degrees. Actually, I did look it up the other day.
But, those ones that. That North Korea was lobbing out there?
No. The ones that they're using over in
Hezbollah.
In Hezland.
Yeah.
Okay, so anyway, now I'm going to move on.
Hurricane?
The hurricane. Now, we don't have a hurricane yet. Is this Chester,
yet.
Chris,
right.
whatever?
Chris.
Okay,
Chris.
And...
it's a dud.
It's a dud.
From our weatherman.
From our weatherman. Well, one of the things that I wonder is, have they rebuilt the levees yet?
They rebuilt the casinos.
Well, they did.
Yeah,
that was the main thing.
They got the important thing.
They got I think we mentioned this on one of the shows when Grandma and Ms. Jimmy and I drove out there. We went by Biloxi, mm-hmm. which was flat. I mean, flat. I'm talking. let me put it this way: not unflat, except for the casinos.
Right,
and they were open, and I mean, people.
Now, were the casinos like
they were new?
Were they floating?
No. Okay. No. They built them on land. Now, this was in Biloxi. Now, one of the things that they did do,
you got to go win money to rebuild your house.
Were they on stilts?
Right. No, they weren't. They were back off the shore a tad.
Man, I think I would.
Were they newly rebuilt or they were?
They looked new. They looked new.
So they had an overhaul
off the
they
shore.
Had a
tad.
Fast overhaul.
Off the shore, more than 5 miles.
No. But maybe a half a mile.
Well, that's good. That
Guess
was creating
what?
Jobs. In the
well,
world.
I understand. But well, of course, there are all the jobs to build it. But my point is, think about the priorities. Okay, do we need food? Do we need water? How about electricity? Well, no, we need the casino.
Well, the casinos have got to be a large share of their income.
Well, they also, of course, passed the law that Mississippi did at any rate. They passed the law that said now you don't have to actually be in the river. You remember?
Really? They repealed the river law?
They repealed the river law. They said now you can count. We deem you to be in the river if you're near the river, like if you could see the river,
we deem
you to be in the river. Because, you know, I think it was by their constitution or something, they weren't allowed to have.
Well, if the river rises, they're in the river.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
That's right. Well, global.
If you're dumb enough to build on our coasts, we'll reward you.
That's right. Well, we're going to talk about that next, about global warming, because that's exactly what's going to happen. Obviously, we know about that. But I did find it interesting that the first thing was the gambling. So in order to get the revenues flowing in places.
Well, at least they haven't totally lost their minds.
No, that's true. Well, you got to think about it, because the people that haven't lost their minds are the gambling people. I mean, money talks
debatable
in,
if they
you know what
have their minds.
I mean, that's that simple.
Yeah, man. I mean, so.
Yeah.
The guys who had the cash to rebuild. You know, I mean.
Well, so when I sent you that email, I said the levies, what I say, the levies are going up, and what's going down? What did I put on that email that I sent you? Come on.
Casino's up and the levee's down.
Okay, that's right. So anyway, the zone of contention or the zone of uncertainty, of course, is about as wide as the Western Hemisphere. They have it programmed, I think, to go south of the Keys and into the Gulf.
You're talking about Hurricane Chris.
Well, tropical storm right now. And they said it's a little disorganized, but they said, you know, it might come back, warm waters, global warming, who knows what.
And global warming.
Well, we're going to talk about that in just a second, because the hurricane experts came out and said, well, it probably won't be as bad as it was last year, which, of course, was a record. I mean, it went through the entire alphabet last year.
Well, that's a good bet, then.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right.
If we only have to be as vague as, well, probably.
Probably, right.
You know,
yeah, I'll take that bet.
Right.
So the point is, this is the first one that might create some havoc. I think it missed Puerto Rico, and barely, and 40 miles away or something.
Yeah, it's a banana rattler.
I can appreciate that. But wouldn't it be? What's so funny about this is that you want to know that the 24-hour news cycle people are praying that this thing will. I mean, if they would give
destroy
anything,
New Orleans the second time.
They would love it.
Would buzzsaw it is, in
no,
there.
They're going to send the NASCAR people, the people that watch the NASCAR races down there, to report on this because let's face it, you go there for what? I'm sorry, to watch the wrecks. And so they're going to, you know, they're going to
watch the weathercasters get blown away.
Blown away. Watch FEMA not do anything, and then watch Walmart make a ton of money because they know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, Walmart and Home Depot, you can bet, are totally prepared for any hurricanes down in that area. You can bet.
The Weather Channel ratings go through the roof?
Oh, through the roof. Through the roof. Ad costs a fortune.
Oh, yeah, no. They go from selling ads to, like, the local Truly Nolan store to...
200,000.
They sell the one-minute Apple ads for $1 million.
Yeah, exactly. Super Bowl ads.
So they can... Well, as well they should.
Sure.
Well, you know, Grandma, I mean, that's her... When the TV clicks on, that's what it goes to. So she, I mean, that's her default channel. Is
Weather Channel.
Yeah. Of course, I don't know why, because she's got a weather toe that responds to every millibar.
It's a barometer toe.
Yeah, no, she's confirming whether or not the Weather Channel is correct. That's what it boils down to. So anyway, you know, move on. This dovetails right into global warming.
That's right.
Which, of course, as we sit here in Florida, it's nothing unusual. We're having our regular 96 degrees and 96% humidity, which we have every summer about this time.
So they're saying this is global warming over the last 200 years that we've been keeping record, something like that.
You're right. This is worst summer. Hottest summer across the board. Hottest, you can't believe. That's number one. And, of course, and this is way, you know, up into the North Dakota, Maine, you know, 96 degrees.
Oh, it was like 106 in Montana or whatever. Yeah.
The other thing is that they always make things sound worse. I noticed that they said that with the heat index can raise what it feels like by 10 or 20 degrees. Well, I got a newsflash for you. If it's 100, it ain't feeling like 120.
It's feeling like 100.
Yeah, well, it comes down, I can tell you from personal experience, from cold at any rate. If it's like zero, it can feel like, you know, minus, I don't know, 20, if you have a lot of wind. But if the wind, the more the wind blows, it asymptotes out to, like, it doesn't go down anymore. And it turns out that at about minus 50, it doesn't matter what. It doesn't matter if the wind's blowing 1,000 miles an hour or zero, it feels like
you're dead, but
it's 50, it's minus 50. That's when you chip your ear. That's when you peel your ear off if you're, you know, cracked like a cookie. You know,
I don't know. I think that whole perceived. It's 100, but it feels like 100. That seems like a weather.
Well,
channel
I can tell you. Well, you say that, but I mean that's been around for a long time. I can tell you that at 110 in Palm Desert is damn sure a lot cooler than 96 here in Gainesville. There's no question.
Yeah, but 110 in Palm Desert feels like a 110 in Palm Desert, you know?
I don't think so, because let me tell you something.
It's all relative. It's subjective.
No, I can tell you what happens in Palm Desert. When you got like 5% humidity and you walk outside and you sweat, you lose like a gallon a minute out of your body. You shrivel up like a raisin out there if you don't drink all the time. So
it's like SpongeBob. Yeah,
you're always dry.
Sandy's Dome, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, you should see. You know, when we go out there, I mean, my lips turn into look like the baked desert. You know, cracked open and everything like that. If you know the chapstick people make a fortune out there. Anyway, the whole point is you can bet that if this continues, that Al Gore could surf in on this heat wave to be the president.
Didn't he tell us about global warming?
Of course he did.
I mean, he invented global warming.
That's right, he did. But my point is that here's the guy who is, just because of the circumstance, it reminds me of when Jane Fonda came out with that movie, The China Syndrome.
Right.
And that was like the day it came out.
7.
3 Mile Island blew up or whatever. That was
a promotional.
Yeah, that was a promotion, right. I understand that. They rigged it, of course. Duh.
Right.
But as I said, as we've always said, more people were killed at Chappaquiddick than 3 Mile Island.
Right.
So
was it China Syndrome? Wasn't that Jack Lemmon?
Yep.
Okay.
It was Jack Lemmon, and it was Michael Douglas.
Walter Matthau.
That's right.
No, I don't think so. But it was Jane Fonda.
This is kind of like Mel Gibson in his next movie, Apocalyptic, right there, or whatever. Apocalyptic Dramatic. Yeah. It's pretty much the apocalypse of his career.
You think?
People are saying. I don't think so at all.
But
some people are saying.
Oh, look, I'm telling you, I look at some of this stuff. that as a TV watcher, occasional TV watcher, I'm probably watch TV maybe 25, 26 hours a day max. And I'll tell you, some of the stuff you see on there is just, it's mind-boggling. They got Mel Gibson. They decide they're gonna, I don't know what they're gonna do.
Well, he had a pretty good mug shot, at least. It wasn't up there with Gary Busey.
Well, I can tell you that, as I told you before, that, you know, Ms. Jimmy said that if he goes into treatment center, she wants to know where she decides she's gonna take. She could do a little treatment herself. She'd go right along. You know, that's no problem. She's gonna sign up for a little alcohol rehab,
right,
but she can find out where it is.
Well, maybe he should sell tickets to his own rehab.
I would think. Again, mm-hmm.
Auction them on eBay.
All right, well, back into global warming.
Okay.
But I wanted
to mention the global warming is what, as I say, Al Gore could surf in on this heat wave to.
If the election were this summer.
If the election. Well, but, again, it if it only has to persist for a little while longer.
3 months is a long time.
3 months is a long time, right?
Time.
And, well, both ways, you're right. In other words, what is going to be.
He's got to go through two more winters before he gets.
That's true. But. This is the kind of thing where you raise money. You know, you go out and you get a lot of dough and you put some money in the kitty on this one and then you
You can't buy the presidency. I mean, ask Donald Trump, Ross Perot, Steve Forbes. I mean, those guys had plenty of cash to spend. You know, you can spend $60 million on your campaign.
You can say what you want about Ross Perot, but the fact is he was responsible for Clinton getting in 92.
Well, that's true, but...
He won for Clinton. Clinton wouldn't have won if it hadn't been for Ross Perot. So you can be the spoiler.
What did he spend?
$20 million own money, I think.
At least, yeah.
At least $20 million of his own money, right.
They calculated.
He should have spent more.
Right? It doesn't matter.
I mean,
one of the problems is once you get a ton of exposure, you end up like Howard Dean did with the magic scream. Exactly. I mean, that was, you know, talk about a campaign that went from 100 to zero in, you know, 6 minutes. Jesus.
He's a kook.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you, that was unbelievable. So anyway, the deal is, which reminds me, speaking of Al Gore and global warming, they have on YouTube, which is my new favorite TV show, of course.
New favorite TV show.
Right.
So at least 22 of those 25, 26 hours a day.
That's right. Well, the problem with it is you have to watch it, of course, on your computer, and they should hitch it up to my TV, I guess. But they have the Al Gore and the Penguins. It's they put this thing on. They showed a sinister Al Gore talking to penguins about global warming and how things were going to all go to hell in a handbasket. And then they showed the movie theater, and they showed one theater with Passion of the Christ or something like that. And it was packed, everybody clapping and applauding. And then they showed a picture from the stage, from the screen, looking back in the theater, looking at Al Gore's movie, and there's these three penguins in there. And what do you hear? The crickets.
We need to get a clip of that on the webpage.
That's what you hear, the crickets. So anyway, this may be the salvation for his movie. I hope he's got executive producer credit or something like that.
The movie already made millions of dollars. He's fine on that. That's a lot for a documentary.
Yep, it is. It is. It is a lot. Okay, well, I'm done with global warming. Anything else? Well, obviously, we'll keep you posted on that. It is toasty warm this year, and too bad. And, of course,
the big average shift they're talking about is less than 1 degree, less than half a degree. So the fact that it's super warm this summer really has very little bearing on the overall.
Except when the power plants blow a fuse, and like in Queens, I don't think.
Well, we're using more power now.
And, of course, that's why we don't want to have any nuclear power plants or...
I want to have them. I want to have breeder reactor.
Breeders! I like the breeders. Yes!
Breeder.
Well, and again, back to that, we're talking about a history of 200 years that they've been studying this. That's a microscopic granule.
It's not even an eye blink.
How can they make any judgment that's such a...
This is not what you call a random sample.
Since we're into it...
This calls about devolution.
Yeah.
Since we're into what?
Well, he's talking about the history of the temperature.
Right.
And of course, yeah, you're talking about records go back 200 years.
Right.
But you have to remember that there's all sorts of analysis they can do to predict what the temperature was prior to that.
I understand.
Like ice cores analysis of certain rock features and stuff like that.
Trees.
So, I mean, there's a graph of the temperature for the whole 5 billion years that you can pull up on the web.
What 5 billion years?
What, the 6,000 years, you mean?
Yeah, what are you talking about?
6,000?
No, no, no. It was all
5,862.
No. This is what I've said. We're going to dovetail right now.
Evolution,
Kansas. The school board, all of the schools in Kansas were supposed to teach creationism, or intelligent design, and there was a big hoorah about it, and that school board, the statewide school board, got voted out. And the new one came in, and now they're going to change it back to make sure that Darwinism or
evolution
is part of the science curriculum. What they wanted to do, I think, was to put intelligent design in as part of the science curriculum. Big hoorah across the country, made all the news. But so anyway, now it's apparently it may change back. A couple of interesting things were about this. I thought 20%. It was under 20% was the total vote turnout. So that means that, you know, basically 12 or 13% of the electorate made this decision, which means it ain't over yet. And, of course, they were the ones who were hopping mad. I mean, they were the ones that really got out the vote. You know, they're the ones that had the signs, thousands of signs all over Kansas in their wheat fields or whatever. They said, you know, vote yes, vote no, whatever it is.
Well, how long had they been teaching the intelligence? When did they change?
I'm not sure they actually got into it. I think they've only been on the board for like a year. It's been about a year.
So maybe
it was 1 year.
Did they used to teach evolution and now?
Yeah, and then they went, and then what they decided to put in the curriculum was
Flying Spaghetti Monster.
You're right, the Flying Spaghetti Monster, and the
look out, boys.
Well,
and girls.
Let me tell you, there are
in
some
theaters this summer.
Think about it. If you better watch out. If the Lord created it, everything, 10,000 years ago, I mean, he could have planted the dinosaur bones and all that other stuff.
Sure. There's no conflict there.
No conflict at all.
People, if they created it before I was born, it wouldn't. You'd no way I would be able to prove it. It could have all happened. I could be God.
Yeah, dinosaurs.
And then, send your emails, Jimmy.
Jimmy goes silent. No, the deal is that I think that this has all been blown. A lot of it's been blown out of proportion. And one of the things that is covered, and I want to make a plug for one of my favorite people, is Ann Coulter. Now, she takes on in spades in her book. I say that. She takes on the evolutionists in her book, mm-hmm. big time. Now, she's not, she favors, quote, intelligent design. That is to say, she says, look, this couldn't have just, this is not just random, throw it together. And, of course, the question anybody would ask is, well, what was before that kind of thing? Mm-hmm. You know, and that's... So we don't know. I don't think yet anybody.
You got an intergalactic chicken and egg problem.
That's right. Exactly right. So the deal is that one of the statement that I want to make about this is, first of all, as I just said, that 10, 12, 14% of the people made the decision. And this affects every government-run school in the state of Kansas, and which is another reason why the government-run school system is a disaster, in that if you, for whatever reason, don't want, if you want to have a Baptist or Christian or non-Christian or whatever it is, you ought to be able to do it. But the question is, how do you compete against free?
Right.
I mean, the bottom line is the school system is at no cost to the parents or the children.
So this is sort of a monopoly problem.
Total monopoly problem.
These guys are the only.
I mean, you think about it. Why are there any private schools? I mean, think about it. Not only are you foregoing here in Florida the $12,000 taxpayer subsidy per student, but then you have to pony up with anywhere from $8,000 to $12,000 of your own dollars to send your kid to a non-government run school. But of course, the teachers still have to be certified by the government, and they still have to be inspected by the government, and stuff. So it's not quite a government school, but
it's a more expensive government school.
Well, yeah, but they get away with some stuff that you can't get away with, of course. This brings up the thing: how do you compete with free? And this tells you that the government-run school system is so bad that even 10% of the people say, I know it's going to end up costing me what amounts to the swing of anywhere from $15,000 to $25,000 a year, but it's worth it. That's how bad it is. When you compete against free and lose, compete against free and win,
right.
You know that free must be pretty damn bad.
Right.
Well, so this actually applies directly to the question that was sent in by David. About the monopoly issue, or the monopsony.
Monopsony, right.
Right, which is a similar, analogous thing. I mean, you could, You want to?
Exactly, because Sony has a monopoly on something.
Yeah, exactly. That's a monopsony.
That's right.
Now, a monopsony is only one buyer, and a monopoly is only one seller in the market.
Right.
And what David's question was can free enterprise get too big? That is, can there be a company out in the world universe that has so much power that they then gain this monopoly or monopsony power, and the market cannot function because of this big giant player?
Right. And the answer is no. The only player that can become too big is the one that uses the guns, and that's the government. The simple fact is that without, and we've seen this, without guns, that is in a voluntary exchange thing, we have seen the very largest companies across the board go out of business. I mean, I remember when W.T. Grant was way bigger than Walmart, and they went out of business because they couldn't keep up.
They couldn't compete effectively.
And you don't have to go back very far to see all
the... I remember when Fox joined the big three television market. You know, they had the big three. They were the impenetrable. No way could you compete with those guys. They had too much market, too much scale.
NBC, ABC, CBS.
That's it.
Exactly.
And then all of a sudden, Fox.
That's right.
And then Playboy Channel.
And that's right. No, the deal is that in a voluntary exchange system, there is no. I can assure him from statistics, from empirical evidence, and because I believe it anyway, that there's no such thing as a purely voluntary company ever getting too large, because they're satisfying the customer. Even when you go back and look at the history this brings up another thing. When you look at the history of the trust busters, who does
Teddy Roosevelt?
Yeah, but I mean, who? What is our
the big federal agency that does it?
Is the FTC,
the Trade Commission,
Federal Trade Commission? Is it?
Yeah, I believe
who,
so.
Who is it that brings the trust busting?
The SEC.
No, that's for stocks and bonds. The trust busters, I think, are the it's the Justice Department that does it, I guess, but they do it through the Federal Trade Commission. Anyway, but if you go back and you look, this is typical of so many things. The courts, of course, broke up AT&T and Standard Oil, and I think somebody else. They didn't break up a couple of places that they'd been asked to. I don't know, United Shoe Company might have been one. I forget what. You know more about those court cases, but it turns out that the trust busting was on flawed. It was on flawed, not only flawed evidence, I don't think, but as a flawed assumption about what the trust busting was supposed to be. And it was, the idea was that big was necessarily bad. And if you go and look at the statistics and the price of kerosene, which was the big replacement for whale oil from 1860 after the Civil War, when Rockefeller kind of started, until 1912, when Standard Oil was finally broken up, you've traced the price of kerosene, and it went from, like, in their dollars. Now, back in those days, there wasn't any real inflation because we were still on a gold standard. But the price went from, like, a dollar a gallon down to less than a nickel. And I might even have a barrel, for all I know. But it went down to almost free. And that was with one company basically holding all the cards. Well, what's so bad about that? So often, when you find the trust busters coming in, it's they're against the consumer. They are, for some reason, they're not looking out for the people that they should be looking out for, which is the consumer. We see that time and time again where you have one business that'll go in here. For instance, when Walmart wants to open up, some of the business people get together and they say, well, you know, you can put my little clothing store out of business, or you can put my little food store out of business. And what, there's 200,000 of us here that would love to have the Walmart in here, but it's those couple of business people that keep it out.
Well, you know, like you said, they're using a flawed formula because they're not allowing the free market to make the decision,
right.
The actual consumers to make the decision. Therefore, they're preempting the consumers.
They're preempting, and who vote every day.
Right.
I mean, it's the ultimate democracy. They vote with their feet and with their dollars every single day. And the thing that is interesting is that governments, for some reason, as slow as they move in some areas, they're pretty fast to address what they perceive as a market deficiency. When if they just wait a week or two, that it would iron itself out. It is self. The beauty of the market system is that it is self-correcting. The only time it doesn't self-correct is when somebody gets in bed with the government with the guns.
For example, the school system we're talking about in
Kansas. Right. Exactly. And the greatest enemy is kind of a little pithy saying here. The greatest enemy of capitalism are capitalists. And these are the people that have made it and then go to the government to preserve rather than keep competing, they get tired of competing, they go to the government to preserve
their status.
Their status. And what they say is, now we have become such a necessity in life that you need to pass some laws to make sure we stay here. And you see this with the cable companies, for instance. I mean, who needs cable? When all is said and done. But here in town, if you don't have cable, the government is, well, it's a franchise. The government's involved in it. And now it becomes a necessity. Give me a break.
You always hear that little pithy statement for 1 in 5 jobs is related to the automobile industry.
Yeah, right. Okay, well, it wasn't before, and it will be some other day in the future. But if you can keep it that way for as long as you want, but you are against the tide of the market. And ultimately, newsflash, ultimately the market will out.
So David,
nobody's above the market.
David, there's the answer to your question. As promised, Jimmy answers them live. And for all of the people who want to send in a question.
Well, this is not exactly live.
It's close enough.
It's live right now.
You're live, aren't you?
Yeah. I'm here.
Yeah.
Hey, did you see that also?
Well, let me just tell you, okay. If you want to answer, if you send in any kind of question, Jimmy will answer legitimate political questions.
No, I'm not going to restrict myself to that. if they you can't use any profanity, but if you come in and say, I would say, if you ask why is your show so poor, I can answer that. But if you say why does it suck, then I probably won't answer that.
So we don't have any sponsors.
So what, that's right.
Poor.
Yeah, that's right.
Did you see that the Petersburg, Kentucky, they have a museum that they're putting Adam and Eve in there next to the dinosaurs.
Whoa. Oh, this is the creationism museum.
Yeah, yeah.
$25 million.
Yeah, they raised $21 million in private donations, and two anonymous donors gave them $1 million.
The dinosaurs, you mean the Jesus horses, right?
Wait a minute.
It's an angelosaurus.
We could just work a new story.
What is it? Is it these states that have K in their names or for creationist or something? Kansas, Kentucky? I don't know.
That's right. Well, that's
K creationist, baby.
Yeah, that's right. The Ku Klux creationist.
Ku Klux creationist.
No, it's I guess, but it's so what are they going to have in this museum, does it say?
They're going to have an 180-seat special effects theater where you can see a 40-foot-tall recreation of a section of Noah's Ark and stare into the jaws of robotic dinosaurs as they were attacking the Ark, I'm sure.
Yeah. Let me tell you, they're boarding the Ark. I've got a question. I do have a question. This Ark was 40 cubits long, right? Which is, I don't know, what is that, a couple city blocks or what?
I don't know how big is a cubit.
Well, that's what I mean. I don't know. But, I mean, two dinosaurs on that thing?
Yeah, and well,
Jesus horses.
And whales? Where'd they put the whales?
Well,
the whale.
Sperm whale.
Outside. Left all
that's
the fish
what I
outside.
Want to know. Where'd they put the sperm whale?
Well, they didn't allow those on the Ark.
That's right, because they could swim. Oh, that's right. They could, the fish.
Exactly.
It was the Immaculate Conception whale.
Well, I mean, you think about it. By the time you put a couple of dinosaurs on there, and think about it, in close quarters, you got a couple of Tyrannosaurus Rex, along with
a bunch of lambs.
What are you saying, Jimmy?
Are you saying you
don't really think there were dinosaurs on?
Well,
those,
it's right? Like that. Yeah. It's like that on Futurama. On. What's that little animal that dumps that little
nibbler?
Nibbler dumps
dark matter.
Dark matter. Mm-hmm. So is that? I mean,
there were a couple of those on the Ark.
I could have been.
John Morris, the president of the Institute for Creation Research in San Diego, he just says Americans aren't gullible enough to believe that they came from a fish.
What are you talking about? It's on TV.
Bubble.
Didn't you see that little Morphe thing that they showed? They showed the fish, and it climbs up on the
out of the mud.
And it crawls out of the mud and gets some feet and then stands up. Did you see that?
Hopping around.
It makes perfect sense to me. I don't see how you can deny that.
Absolutely.
We need to go see that, I guess. I hope the entrance fee is not too high. Okay, you want to talk about the fighting the Hez?
Oh,
Hez
Malad.
Okay,
well, at least update.
Cue the bombs, baby. Cue the bombs.
I got
156 bombs a day.
Well, no, they were over 200.
200. They're up to 200.
Let's just keep them coming.
Is that one of yours?
They sent over 200 yesterday.
I still love that guy whose car got hit with that with that missile.
Oh my God.
They shot a missile 12 miles. This, you know, $250,000 missile hit this guy's $250,000 car. Like out in the middle of nowhere.
Good aim.
And he's like, no, 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 no. He's jumping up and down. His car is totally blown up.
And the insurance company is probably, you know, active war. You know, most insurance policies don't cover active
That's
war.
That's true. Yeah.
So anyway, but they're firing these, you know, these Katyusha rockets. Aren't these the ones that are like that they had in the Second World War that were in those batteries of like...
And they're Russian design.
Russian design, right. Yeah. And now
they
go
75 miles.
Yeah.
They're sort of V2 or V...
No. They come out of a tube.
They come out of a tube.
On the back of a truck or something.
Yeah and they're certainly below sound speed, right? They're certainly below light speed.
Man, look at that. I've got way a lot of info on it, but I don't have it with me.
Well, they're below a phaser.
But
a time torpedo.
Well, the thing about it is this is so typical of all the Russian stuff when you think about it. Apparently, it's solidly designed. Works every time. It's just the aim sucks. Number one. I mean, I remember somebody was telling me that when the T-34 tank showed up in Second World War, it was such a strong tank that the Panzer tanks, you know, they couldn't kill it. And the problem was that the T-34 had no communications. So that when the tank commander, so they couldn't coordinate an attack, but they were so strong that what they do is they'd kind of wade into the Panzer division the Russian tank commander would get out, you know, open up the hatch, literally look out and say, is all about the mile, and then the guy would swing the thing around, and they would blow up the Panzer tanks. But I mean, and the same thing with their planes, they were like bulletproof, and the tanks were. So this Katyusha rocket apparently they're Kalashnikovs. I mean, they're everybody. That's the gun of choice, right?
Yeah.
I mean, so they make stuff that's...
AK-47.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what?
Yeah, Kalashnikov.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Don't confuse me.
Just clarifying for our listeners.
Okay. So anyway, have these rockets, has Iran or somebody, they're supplying, Iran's probably supplying these things, right?
Oh yeah, Ahmadinejad had a solution today. He said, if we just wiped Israel off the map, no more problem.
There you are. Do you think that would stop it?
I think it would die down some things. I don't think it would stop.
Of course, then maybe the two H's would be after each other. Hamas and Hez.
Well, yeah, I mean, there's all sorts of sectional fighting that's been going on for centuries.
Well, they even said that the general said that Iraq could be looking at a civil war here pretty quick.
Yeah, they're still talking about that.
Yeah. So another one of our beautiful.
Yeah,
plans.
No, right. That's right. It worked
out to perfection.
Perfect. Boy, I'll tell you, they know what they're doing, don't they? Oh my God, they never learn. I mean, you think about this. All the years that they have meddled in. The Marines went into Guatemala and the Arms for Hostages and the Dole Pineapple and you look at all the way these, you know, they're tin pot dictators and now we got Hugo and it's unbelievable. And then now in Mexico, you know, that thing may be backfiring. That guy won by about 2 votes out of 50 million.
Right.
And so the lefty guy has said, we're going to
recount.
Recount. Yeah. Hand, you know, Chads. Hanging right. Chads
or something. They're just copying this.
Yeah, I know. I guess. I mean, they should put some people over from Brevard County. No, it's Broward County, I guess.
Broward,
yeah.
Palm Beach County.
Palm Beach County, right. They ought to fly them over there to help count the vote, I guess.
The Hanging Chads,
that's right. So anyway, what I was curious to know is where, just, you know, Hezbollah, whatever, they're in southern, you know, their stronghold, whatever's in southern Lebanon. Where do they get the money for this stuff? I mean, what do you suppose those rockets cost? Somebody says it's got 10,000 of them laid up in churches and hospitals and kids' homes and schools.
I heard 2,000 or something.
Well, I heard they fired 2,000. Are they fired about?
They've been firing them
for a week or something at 200 a day or something.
Yeah,
they fired a couple of
times. I'm waiting for the nucleon bomb.
That's the thing. That's where the solution. Yeah, I mean, seriously, that is one of the little minor problems. I mean, Israel does, you know, and Iran, of course, is working, slaving away on theirs. And I tell you, if you think that they're not going to be a little mushroom work over
there.
Well,
the Israelis don't. They're not going to bomb inside Lebanon with nuclear because they're trying to preserve the Lebanese.
I mean, that 40-mile.
They're not going to do it yet.
40-mile border.
But I mean, when let me tell you something. When your survival's at stake, this is not the six-day war business. They're having some problems apparently pushing these guys around, the Hezes.
Well, they're dug in. They got tunnels and all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
They'll clean them out.
Okay. Okay, good. We have the word.
Yeah.
We have the word. We need to send Mel over there.
A few weeks.
We can send Mel over there on the Hez side. And, you know, he'll holler at him. I don't know. Okay, so anyway, my question is, where are they getting the money? How much are those rockets? They got 10,000. They're more than $50.
The rumor is they're getting it from Iran.
Okay, so, I mean, were they just... I mean, is it shipped in suitcases, do you suppose? Or, I mean, I'm just curious to know. Were they wire transferred, or...
Well, probably.
And then how do they?
The
and
above.
Then where does the actual rocket itself come from? I mean, 10,000. You know, it's not like
maybe
you,
they got good
it's not
credit.
Like you bring that in your luggage or anything.
I mean, maybe they got good credit.
Well, they're saying that the Syrians are assisting and the Lebanese are assisting. I mean, you've got channels over there. There's people who are sympathetic to the.
No, I know that, but I'm wondering how do you get 10,000
over time? They've been doing it. They've been collecting them for decades.
Them. Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Well, I guess that's
1,000 a year.
There's no order of telephone poles to bring over.
That's right.
That's it.
<Yeah.
laughs>
I guess.
Well, if you unzip each one, look what's inside. Creamy nougat missile filling.
Well, that makes sense. They've been stockpiling. As we've seen, some of these are 30, 40 years old.
Yeah, that's why. That's why they got zero technology.
Right.
Okay. Well, that's aim obviously sucks. I mean, you think if they fire 200 of them and, you know, they, like you say, they got somebody's car.
They're thinking.
You know, three people wounded and, you know, I'm thinking, you know,
the Israelis have laser-guided missiles and stuff.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, okay, people, let's keep this short.
Okay. Okay, we're done. Moving on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Move on.
I was going to move on to
minimum
this article
wage.
That I read here. The new minimum wage bill. Now, I think we talked about this in the last show a little bit.
We did.
We mentioned that they're tying it to the estate tax. But now it turns out there's another wrinkle, another group has come up, and what they want to do is to eliminate the tips provision. That is to say,
gratuities,
right?
What do you mean eliminate?
Well, what happens is if you get paid below the minimum wage, I think the way it works is, and maybe somebody can tell me exactly. I didn't digest the
any
entire
of you
article.
Las Vegas way try out there. Send us an email and let us know.
Right, exactly. Well, they're allowed to keep all their tips. Now you're supposed to with the IRS. What you're supposed to do is to impute when you pay your taxes. If you work for tips, you're supposed to say, okay, I got about this much, and I'm paying taxes on this much. Well, of course. Give me a break.
Right.
Especially.
I got $500.
Especially dancers, for instance. You know, I mean, they make, you know.
$500 a day.
No, you report about a fifth of what it is.
Right. So now what they want to do is they want to, eliminate part of the provision that lets you keep your tips. You have to pool. What you have to do now, with when they raise the minimum wage, what they want to do is to say, okay, no more tips. In other words, you have to put them in a bucket, and however you divide them up, you have to tell us.
That money gets counted. Basically.
That money gets counted.
Well,
right.
It's already like that in 44 states or something. They're trying to do it in the last 6 states. Yeah.
Oh, is that right? I didn't know that.
That's
and
a
so
crock
it's,
of shit.
It's California, Nevada, and some other Midwestern states that are
California and Nevada would love to hear that they're Midwestern.
Okay, Western states.
Yeah.
And. And
we'll hear about that.
But that's horse dung.
Yeah, no,
I mean,
it is.
I mean, you know,
it's already a reality here. I mean, I remember I remember when they passed it. I was a waiter, and you had to. All of a sudden, they were saying, "Well, yeah, you got to report all your."
You mean
tips.
You were a waiter before you were a lawyer, huh?
It's hard to believe.
No, but seriously, like you say, you had to report. But I mean, none of it actually, but as you're scooping it off the table, none of it fell in your pocket or anything by accident.
You go and shake your boot out?
Mysteriously.
Yeah, like the gold miners used to, you know, they weigh those guys coming in and out or whatever.
Right,
I thought it was film.
I thought that was film. And no, there is nothing. I mean, I never did that. But
you heard of somebody that might
other
have done
people.
That.
You knew a guy who did that.
Yeah, I knew a bunch of guys and girls. And the tip industry, that's one thing that nobody counts when they talk about minimum wage
right.
receivers.
Well, that's
I was getting $213, $201 an hour.
That's what they're saying in this article.
There's no way those tip poolings could go to dancers. Those girls would catfight and kill each other.
Well, that's what they're saying. No, that's exactly what they're saying here, is that if you have to tell them what you're making, there's a bunch of people that are not going to be happy, and they're so. Not only are they're trying to kill it with this estate tax revocation or whatever it is, but now they've got a new group, and that's the people that get tips. And apparently, there's a fair number of them. So you know, who knows? The minimum wage bill is not totally passed yet. Although, and of course, the minimum wage as we all know, by any stretch of the imagination, is strictly political and is a disaster. You know, to think that nobody loses their job if you raise a minimum wage. I mean, what kind of lunacy is that? I mean, why? Nobody loses your job if you raise the minimum wage. And, of course, the immediate question is, then raise it again.
Right.
Let's go to $20. If nobody loses their job, then, well, somebody might lose their job at 20. Well, what's so magic? I'm sorry, $7.13 is
cents.
None.
Yeah, there's a magic number there.
The magic number. And they know.
Right.
Well, they know exactly the number.
They've been elected to know.
They've been elected. That's right. That's right. They're geniuses. And we're so happy that the all-caring, all-seeing, all-feeling people in Congress are looking out for our interests constantly.
They take into consideration all of the economic factors.
Every single economic factor. And even the ones that we don't know about, and even ones they don't know about.
Right.
They're taking those into account.
Right.
I detect
the
sarcasm.
The leader knows all and sees all.
That's exactly right.
I detect a little sarcasm.
You do?
Yes.
Okay.
Just a little.
I see. Okay, well, I'm done with that. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay.
Sounds good.
Hey, this is Engineer Eric from the Jimmy Doan Show. You just finished listening to part one of our August 3rd podcast. If you'd like, you can download part two from www.jimmydoan.com. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the shows. Here's a little number from the band Jack and I were in. It's called Mary.
She arrived late at the station. She forgot her reservation. All she wanted was conversation. All she needed was a destination. She's the fool. Tell you why. Looks you straight. Shoes and greasy hair, Russian roulette with a flare. Jump a fast track on the day. Told her not to smoke, but she says she don't care.